episode 43. Life throws us lemons and we make lemonade. Life throws us chaos and, well, we put on our soft shoes and do the slow dance. What's that? You don't like to dance? Well, you wouldn't be the first person who declined my offer. But I will bet you a glass of lemonade that with a couple of easy-peasy tips that I'll be covering in this very episode, that soon you and I will both be laughing and dancing the slow dance the next time chaos comes knocking at your door. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. I'd always like to have a slow dancer alongside me every time I go into a crisis, because that person will help me set the pace and set the pace for others. And it's a real skill that I've also developed over time. And I'd like to share with you some of the details that have helped me become a good slow dancer when chaos abounds. See, what happens is that as a crisis intervener, and that is what the Leading Chaos is about, it's for first responders like yourself, people who want to manage chaos successfully and bring it towards safety. For those of us who are interveners, when we come into a scene, the person that we're assisting or the people that we are assisting, they're always trying to jump towards that solution really, really quickly, and they want to get it done like snap, snap, snap. But in truth, to go to the solution first is a big leap, and we have to rein it in and slow dance our way there by taking one step at a time. So I have a little scenario, and again, I'm reading out of my book, Leading Chaos, and I am on page 97 in the chapter Creating Order. And this is tip number 4 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict. And tip number 4 is called one step at a time. But I like to use a metaphor of a slow dancer because that's essentially the same thing. So the scenario goes like this. And this is about a couple that I know who they are. I know a little bit about their history. And I had gotten a crisis call. And the wife, she was really distraught. There were 4 kids involved, and she was just going off on the handle to me on how she wanted to get divorced. She wanted to see custody. She was immediately like, you know, thinking about calling the attorney that night. And we're talking late at night. So obviously she was in the mode of get things done and kind of like blow to like the final frontier right out the door. My role as the intervener was to not go at her pace, but to create that slow dance and make it really attainable for her so she feels successful too. So if we take that little bit of a note of saying one step at a time, what is the first step when a person is really accelerating? The initial step is always aimed at helping the person regain a sense of self-control. So we guide them to slow down his or her breath. And I do that by saying something like, let's both take a deep breath in and out slowly. And of course, I model it just as I just did. And even if they choose not to do it, sometimes by hearing me breathe, they will do the exhale too, because it feels good. So we always begin by helping them regain self-control. We start with the breath, because we know that's key to the rational self. And then I also kind of go for a classic prop, which is the prop of water. I offer the person a glass of water, and it provides an immediate focus. So breath and water. The water, you know, just the drinking, slowing down, you have to like slow yourself down to be able to drink water without spilling it all over yourself. And I do this quite often when I've done a crisis call over the telephone, because I did that as a bit of work for a while, and I still get crisis calls from friends and family members. So in that sense, I take one step at a time. I begin with the breath, and I'll say, you know, before we begin, why don't you go get a glass of water, because you're talking really quickly, and I want to slow things down so I could hear what you're saying. And that makes sense to people. I mean, that just makes sense. It's not like I'm trying to like fool them or anything. But if a person is talking really quickly on the phone and I can't understand them, I want them to feel successful that they are getting their message across by giving them real tangible steps to take. So breath, water, and then next, I often ask a person to take a seat. I've even been in situations where I'll ask them, what were you doing right before you called me? And they, you know, that might get them back into the story, but often, more often than not, they it'll give them a pause for a second to think through their thoughts. And what I'm looking for is, have they had any food? I mean, food is a critical piece to getting ourselves grounded. And I remember doing this once with an elderly woman. She was, you know, kind of calling in a very anxious state of mind. I got her to get that glass of water, to sit down, and to get a couple crackers. And we didn't talk about anything. When she, you know, I was just listening to her kind of eat and drink a little bit. And that alone got her to do the slow dance. And you got to love it. It's just getting us to our very primal state. You know, that first level of safety is just food and shelter, the seat, the water, the crackers. And it works quite well. So remember that a lack of food or high levels of alcohol, they can really contribute to an irrational or agitated behavior. So it's not only just beneficial on that basic level of hunger, but it also is beneficial to ground ourselves and help us think clearly. That is exactly what I did with that mom. She took the seat, she had a glass of water, she had a couple of crackers to chew on. If she was in her rational state, she wouldn't be calling me. She would have had some of those answers. She would have already been doing the slow dance. But when a person is in distress, they're really leaning on us slow dancers to guide them along and lead them onto the dance floor of life, metaphorically, and make it a good experience. What I did next was continuing on that slow dance pace. Instead of getting involved in her discussion about divorce and custody, I slowed things down even further and said, what do you need to do tonight for the kids so they can get to bed? That again is one step at a time. And so she discussed with me, they need some bath, they need maybe some water themselves to brush their teeth and to get tucked into bed by their mom. And by the end of that conversation, we were able to put her life a bit into perspective and realized that the next steps did not have to take place in the wee hours of the evening where kids were going to get pulled in and moved and brought to the in-law home or an aunt and uncle or a friend, you know, just be uprooted, that we could actually slow things down, that it wasn't such a crisis, so dangerous that they couldn't sleep at home that night. And the truth of the matter is that couple is still together today and they are continuing on practicing the slow dance because it takes a bit of practice, especially with your loved ones. I think there's no other group for me in my life than my loved ones who can get me out of my slow dance quicker. I could go in as a professional intervener and help somebody that I don't know slow dance, but when it comes to my own private life, I have difficulty. That's a true confession. And so that's why, well, that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast, to practice that, because, hey, no matter who you are, we all need some practice. But also, it's a reminder that we have that humanity within us. And to be human, in my mind, is to be imperfect. And I'm perfect in my imperfection. And I need to practice that too, and I rely on others to help me slow dance when my life is topsy-turvy. There's one other piece to this slow dance, and that tip number 4 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict. And this is a technique that I also use in conjunction with one step at a time. And it's called present time, bringing a person into present time. And that's exactly where that mom wasn't when she first called. She was not in present time. She was already thinking about the future and had herself living separately and, you know, the end result of the custody battle. She was already forecasting a year from now, if it even went there, you know, what her life would be like. But that doesn't help somebody who is in crisis. You have to really slow things down and get yourself back into present time. Sometimes that's a physical experience too. We're moving so fast and we can't feel our own body. You know, I had that once where I was driving an old van and the engine caught on fire. And that was scary. And I was at a gas station, no less. And I kid you not, I jumped out of that van and my arms, I was like a cartoon character. My arms were straight out in front of me, like you'd see on a cartoon. I was just like running for the fire extinguisher into the gas station. That I wasn't aware of my body or what I was doing. And that could happen when the dance room is just going too fast and the music's going too fast. So getting ourselves into present time is slowing our physical self down and really being present in the environment that we're at. Some of the ways I do this when I'm doing an intervention with a person who's really distressed and I can notice that they might be bobbing up and down or they're shaking or they're holding themselves really tightly is I'll just talk to them in this step-by-step process. I'll say, and you can follow along with me now if you're in a seated position and you're not driving, put your feet flat on the ground and feel the floor beneath you. Just kind of rub the floor a little bit. And what I'll see is people's ankles will start kind of like just going back and forth as they rub it. It might be very slight, but if I notice that, I'll say, good, you can feel it. I might even ask them to tap it just to kind of feel the floor a little bit. If they're sitting at a desk, I'll say, put your hands on the table in front of you and just hold that. Hold that and feel that wood, that oak wood desk in front of you. And that is getting them back in the room and out away from the distractions that are really confusing them and taking them out of present time. It's a great technique if you are in a clinical setting working with people who might have a psychotic episode and they are definitely not in present time. It's not demanding the person to get up, you know, and deal with you. It's getting at their level and bringing them along and realizing they might not even realize they're in the same room with you. And it's up to us to bring them back into that room and get very tactile to the environment around it, whether it's a hard floor, whether it's a heavy desk, whether it's the color of the walls around them, on a tactile sensation, what is happening there. That is present time. So we have that number 4 tip. There's so much to it. Taking one step at a time, be the slow dancer in the room when chaos is spinning, and you will be leading chaos, not only for yourself, but for others. And I know you do this already. We do this every single day. There is a big, big task, and we break it down into simple and smaller steps. You do that already. Just bring those same steps and bring it out into the greater world when you're leading chaos. One more review. What can we do? We normalize our rate of respiration. We use water. We ask a person to sit down. And we also check in, have they had any food? That is creating the slow dance. And then we give them small steps to set attainable goals. And there you have it. We have just slow danced ourselves along in this episode, in another episode of the Leading Chaos Podcast. You know, I'm having a great time with this, and I hope you are too, as I go through the Leading Chaos story, and I take all these little excerpts out of my book, Leading Chaos. And next week, we'll be continuing along, and this might sound like the same thing, which is set the pace, but it's a little bit different than taking one step at a time. And so I will talk about that tip next week with you. Meanwhile, I would really appreciate if you could take the time to send me a comment. Send me a line to Rhea@leadingchaospodcast.com. You can send it there, or you can send me a tweet. At Leading Chaos. That's the Twitter feed for this podcast. And just give a shout out and let me know what you think about this episode. How's it going for you leading chaos out in the world? So if you could just do that little simple step, that'd be great. I would love to hear from you. Meanwhile, I just want to advise, enjoy the summer as it's going. We are on the cusp of July 4th here in the U.S. That's always a big holiday season where there could be a lot of big parties, a lot of drinking, a lot of eating. So be careful. Be careful with each other. Be kind to each other. And when you see your relatives, whether you're in the U.S. on a July 4th or you're in some of the beautiful countries, all the beautiful countries out in the rest of the world, we all have our parties and celebration. When you see a family or friend accelerating up, go ahead, step forward, be the slow dancer. It's a great position to be in as you help others to slow dance through life. Alrighty then, this is Rhea signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and do the two-step out the back door. Ciao for now.